All right, we'll head to D.C., and Congressman Bill Flores joins us. Good morning, Congressman. How are you this morning?
Doing great, Scott. How are you today?
Fine, thank you. Let's look back, first of all, from last week. The House passed a bill that prohibited future ransom payments. Would you tell us about that and your reaction?
Yeah, I mean, I think by now everybody knows that the president paid $1.4 billion in currency to Iran, which is just incredible. And didn't, you know, he lied to Congress about what he was doing and didn't tell us before he did it. And there's no way to do that without an appropriations bill. So we passed a bill in the House to prohibit future behavior of this nature.
You know, what else, tell us what other actions Congress took last week that folks might want to know about, too.
Well, there's a rig relief bill. Here's one of the things that's interesting. The EPA has been rolling out tons of just economically damaging regulations. And several companies and states have been suing the federal government, the EPA, to stop those things. And the courts have actually intervened and stopped a few of them for us, like the Waters of the U.S. rule, the Clean Power Plan, and some things like that. The problem is that if there hasn't been, if a court hasn't intervened, then the EPA has gone through and demanded or continued to impose the regulations on the businesses and the states that are covered by those rules, even though the litigation may be going on. So the bill that we passed last week says that the EPA has to hold all rule implementation in abeyance if there's pending litigation until the litigation is resolved. And so that's what it does. I mean, it's just a common sense thing that should be done. There's no reason to impose those costs on a business or a state if there's a good likelihood that the court's going to say, hey, you can't do that. Then the businesses have to undo the stuff they've done, and it could cost, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in the meantime.
Congressman Bill Flores joining us this morning. I'd like for you to maybe illuminate things a little bit when it comes to, for all you folks out there who work for a company and you put an hourly wage, you're an hourly wage employee, and there's an opportunity for overtime, and then you've got salaried employees who put in more than that 40 hours a week. There is a tremendous change about to take place that's going to affect literally tens of thousands of businesses across the United States having to do with overtime. And again, it's written by a bunch of bureaucrats who've probably never worked in or owned a business, certainly in their life. Tell us what's happening now and what might possibly change before these overtime rules go into effect.
Okay, but today there are categories of employees called exempt and non-exempt. And basically, if you're exempt, it means you're exempt from overtime requirements. If you're non-exempt, that means that you get overtime. And there is today, the one of the determinations as to whether you're exempt or not exempt is your compensation. Usually, I think it's in the $23,000 to $24,000 range.
Mm-hmm.
What the Department of Labor has done is to basically double that to about $45,000, you know, mid-$40,000 range,
mm-hmm.
which means that hundreds of thousands, if not millions, more employees are now eligible for overtime. Even though they might otherwise meet the rules for being exempt employees, and they're eligible for overtime now. Well, this creates a huge disruption on businesses, charities, things like that. You know, volunteer organizations. It really causes some huge cost increases, and it's also damaging to the paychecks of employees, because what happens is that the businesses will have to respond, and they'll begin to either cut overtime or lower hourly rates so that the all-in compensation for an employee is the same as what it was before. It's very economically disruptive to the economy. It hurts our employees, hurts our families. And again, you got a bunch of bureaucrats, as you said, that just don't get how the real world works. And we've got a bill this week on the floor to stop that for 6 months until we can get into the next administration and hopefully have a better outcome.
I'm sure there are going to be tons of small business owners are going to be watching that. There's a story.
I mean,
go ahead.
Like a small hotel or something like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, for instance, in our business, there's a seasonality to all sorts of companies, and you know what you're doing in June and what you're doing in February could be completely different. It's amazing what this could do to so many businesses. Story in the Wall Street Journal this morning. Go ahead.
Employee, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
it's the employees that get hurt too.
Sure.
So, I mean, this isn't just for business. This is a bad reg when it comes to employee pay.
The story in the Wall Street Journal this morning, the Obama administration will use targeted digital messages and online networks such as Twitter in a sweeping campaign to get young adults to sign up for health insurance during the Affordable Care Act fall open enrollment. This is a program that we know has been in trouble, and I guess this is a new strategy they're going to try.
Yeah, they're trying to, for lack of, I shouldn't use the word I was going to use, they've been trying to promote Obamacare. They failed. The enrollment projections are half of what was initially projected when they rolled out Obamacare 6 years ago. And so it's really failing, and they're really failing in terms of getting younger, healthier customers, if you will, to join these exchanges. And as a result, you've got older, less healthy customers on the exchanges, and it's killing the insurance companies, it's killing the exchanges. And so, I mean, it's a colossal failure because they forgot how the rules of the private sector work, and it's just been awful. Now, one of the things, it's interesting, we had a hearing on this a couple of weeks ago with Andy Slavitt, who runs the Center for Medicaid, the CMS. And he was talking about how it was costing less than what it was predicted to cost. He said, yeah, our costs for Obamacare have come in 25% less. And my question was for him, well, yeah, but you're only covering half the people you thought you would, so it's actually on a per-unit basis it's costing more. And, you know, he didn't have a very good response for that. But that's just the way that, you know, they're trying to market this mess. And, yeah, they've got an aggressive campaign to sign people up. They're sending out letters to say, you didn't sign up last year, you're going to have a penalty this year. It's just typical government propaganda that you'd see in a third world country.
It does seem to be failing. Congressman Bill Flores joining us. Finally, this morning, I guess funding the government and the government shutdown is all going to be dependent on Flint, Michigan. Is that where we're going with this now?
Yeah, the Democrats have... Let me back up and tell everybody about Flint, just as a reminder. The Flint water system was mismanaged, not only by the city fathers of Flint, but also by the state of Michigan. And so they wound up with a situation where they had high lead levels in their water. Now, the Democrats have somehow decided that the taxpayers in Bryan College Station need to pay for the mismanagement of the Flint water system. And so they're demanding that funding for the problems in Flint be added to the continuing resolution. And many of us have said, look, we understand how you could socialize the cost of a natural disaster like the flooding in Louisiana or the Texas or some of the other things we've had in the past, but not. You don't use a man-made disaster and impose those costs on the people of the United States. And that's what the Democrats are trying to do with respect to Flint. So I think from what I understand, and again, this is some could be hearsay, is that Mitch McConnell, who has fouled up the whole CR negotiation process in the Senate, has agreed with Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi and the Speaker of the House to put Flint onto the Water Resources Development Act bill, which we're going to look at today. If that's the case, if Flint's problems were funded through that, then it's off the continuing resolution, and then you can have a somewhat more clean continuing resolution voted on probably Thursday, tomorrow in the Senate, and Friday in the House.
So it'll be staved off, our government will go on. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, but who knows? I mean, again, Mitch McConnell really did botch the way he negotiated this. He's thrown the House under the bus. He's thrown conservative concerns under the bus, like stopping the internet transfer, like trying to stop the refugees coming in until they're vetted, things like that. He's just thrown all that under the bus. And Harry Reid has just started having his way with Mitch because, you know, Mitch started from a position of weakness and has had to get weaker since then.
Which is not the way it's supposed to be when you're a majority leader, I don't think, but who knows?
Well, no, I mean, I thought we had the majority, but it doesn't feel like it over in the Senate. Now, I mean, in the House, we can do these things. We can do the conservative things all day long. You just got to get the Senate to work with you.
Congressman Bill Flores joins us most every Wednesday. You can hear the entire interview archived on the website at WTAW.com. Well, it's still going to be a busy week, and I guess we'll hope the government will continue to be funded.
Well, we hope so. I mean, particularly for our troops. I mean, they're protecting us all over the world, and under difficult circumstances, there's just no reason to put their pay at risk for something like this.
Certainly. Thanks for the time again this morning.
Good talking to you. I'd ask everybody to continue to pray for our country.